web accessibility tips. Welcome to WebAx, podcast number 41, the definition of web accessibility. This is your host, Dennis, and this episode I have a special guest today, Joseph Dawson. How are you doing, Joe?
Doing pretty well. Yourself?
Good, thanks.
Great.
Glad you could join me tonight.
Oh, I'm glad to be here.
Joe is a web design, web developer from St. Paul, Minnesota, USA, and his company is Joel Dawson Accessible Web Design. Obviously, he specializes in web accessibility.
Indeed.
So you want to go ahead and tell us a little bit more about yourself and your company?
Yeah. Well, I mean, my company is, it's pretty much me. I do a little bit of subcontracting through other people, but what I focus on is designing websites which are accessible to, of course, people with disabilities. And of course, what we're talking about today, the definition of web accessibility, reflects a lot on exactly what it is I do. I've been doing web design for about 2.5 years now as a freelancer, and had dabbled in it here and there before that during various jobs where I worked at libraries. And information access is important when you're working in libraries, obviously, but with very different challenges. I mean, the challenges of getting access to a physical building and physical resources is something that's been around for a long time. The issues with digital accessibility are a lot more recent, a lot newer, and in many ways not as well explored. Not to say that there aren't problems on both sides still.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's slowly, you know, web accessibility is slowly becoming more aware, at least in the United States. Slowly
yes.
Getting there. So there's a small buzz starting to happen finally.
Yeah,
so.
It's a maturing field.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Some days it seems like it might be an immaturing field, but try and avoid those days.
Now, I'm kind of, it was kind of neat to find you out on the internet, Joe, because, I mean, I do, you know, web design freelance myself, and I specialize in web accessibility. You know, I got this podcast, obviously, but my company's called Check Engine USA, so I'm kind of split between, you know, usability and standards and accessibility, and I've kind of argued that you probably agree it's all kind of the same thing. It like all meshes. Well, there's a lot of crossover.
Right, it is. I mean, it's very difficult to do any one of those things without also considering the others.
Right.
I mean, you can have an absolute 100% commitment to web standards, and if you're leaving out accessibility, then, well, you're leaving out the WCAG, Web Content Accessibility Guidelines, as part of your consideration of standards. I mean, maybe you don't consider that to be part of what you do as standards, but I'd argue you're leaving something out.
Yeah.
And the same with all of the other aspects of really being conscientious about web development. You just have to consider all of these factors.
Right. So, I mean, we're starting to ease into the topic of discussion, the definition of web accessibility, and, you know, I guess I could read out a part of the W3C's WAI definition, which was kind of disappointing, but that says web accessibility means that people with disabilities can use the web. More specifically, web accessibility means that people with disabilities can perceive, understand, navigate, and interact with the web, blah, blah, blah. And that's all fine and dandy, but obviously the one... The one disappointment there that a lot of people pointed out is they're strictly targeting people with disabilities, which I believe you and a lot of other experts firmly believe that that's not the case, that accessibility is really more than just people with disabilities.
Yeah. I mean, the big argument is really this balance between accessibility and universal access. And, they're similar, But universal access is really referring to access by every device, by every person. And it's a much harder thing to gauge because, of course, universal implies that you cannot come up with a means that cannot access this website. In some ways, that's kind of ludicrous, but it's nevertheless a worthwhile goal. Whereas others say that, you know, web accessibility is really about making certain that people with disabilities can get to your content and your information. And really, you know, that's the point. It's a point about civil rights, and making certain that people with disabilities have the right, have the ability to wield their right to actually see your web page and use your web content, buy from your web store. And these are both very good points, but I feel that ultimately going somewhere in between is where you're inevitably going to want to land.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I mean, you can't really disagree with that because, I mean, your goal is obviously universal accessibility, but, you know, technically speaking, at least at this point, you know, it's pretty much an impossibility, but you've got to strive for as much as you can get.
Right.
Which, because I started coming up, I tried to simplify, like, a definition, and I've got it posted on WebAx right now, but what I have right now, it says, an accessible web page makes all content available to any human user, regardless of browsing technology. So, I mean, that's a pretty strong statement to try to do that. And I guess what I was getting at is that's the ultimate goal.
Yeah.
And like somebody pointed out to me, it's like, well, you know, what if your human user, you know, only speaks, you know, Swahili or something?
And right.
Your website's totally accessible in English, but, you know, how would they get it in a different language, you know?
Right.
And I guess, you know, there's web translator tools or whatever, but, I mean, right.
Yeah, well, wouldn't put too much faith in those. But ultimately,
you have to kind of
make that decision, because obviously, now there are, if you can't get your website translated into all 200 dialects of the language of Chad, it's an undue burden on the developing process. You have to make choices, you have to consider your audience, and do the best you possibly can in a reasonable way. I think a big part of the issue is the question of undue burden and where to draw the line between where you're putting too much effort on. You want to avoid the situation where somebody who wants to get at your content can't. And there are ways in which people would not be able to get into it that I think it's safe to say they're more willing to attach that responsibility to themselves. You know, if your web page is in English and they have never learned English, they shouldn't necessarily expect to be able to read your website. But if you're offering something on your website which is particularly important to, say, a Spanish-speaking population, and you're only offering it in English, then you have a serious problem.
Good point. Excellent point.
Thank you.
Let's see. Well, you don't really have a specific definition of web accessibility yourself, right? But I've seen you have written a couple articles.
I've written a couple articles on it, but I haven't... I mean, to me, summarizing it into a short, easily palatable definition is really pretty challenging. I think I do have something I wrote up at some point, although I'll confess it was a while ago, and at this point I don't have any particular memory of what it might say. I'm looking for it on my website right now.
Yeah, I emailed Jared Smith at WebAIM like a week or two ago about the issue, and because I was looking at different definitions, you know, and he's like, gee, and he's like, I never really thought about it, you know, we don't really have a clear-cut definition on our site, you know, and he said he put some thought into if they want to actually do that or not. But he did say that he thought web accessibility was kind of two different things. It's a measure and a process. You know.
No, it's interesting you should say that, because actually I found my definition that I've got on my website. And what I've said is actually the principle that all web users should have access to information available on the internet. So I'm actually considering it as a principle. It's an issue of rights and whether or not this is something that should be emphasized.
Yeah.
Kind of interesting. It's difficult to pin down.
Oh, it totally is. And I guess that's why we're doing this podcast, just to kind of talk about
right.
it. And obviously, as you can see, I mean, it's hard to test because, you know...
Right, you can't...
You can't just rely, on an automated thing, or you can't just rely on two automated things.
And you don't have a testing team of 150 different people with their own different sets of disabilities or limitations.
Yeah, I mean, and I've done a podcast on this too, but, like, you know, to test a website for accessibility, I mean, you got to approach it in different ways and use different tools and methodologies to test it. And so that's that part of it. But also, you know, like the definition itself we're talking about, you know, there's no clear-cut really definition. And even the guidelines aren't clear-cut guidelines. With the WCAG 2.0, you know, a lot of people are giving that a tongue-lashing. So.
Well, I think half the problem with that is the fact that it's written in such an abstract manner that it's intended to be disassociated from any specific technology, but it's also disassociated from any specific way of understanding it. it's challenging.
Yeah.
It's not all bad, but it's certainly not all good either.
I mean, you could tell, like, the meaning behind it is, you know, is they're on the right track and they're trying to do... And they're doing a good job, but it's just like, I guess a big question with that is, I mean, what's it going to be used for? Is it like, you know, techniques on how to do it, or is it supposed to, is this a measuring device, or is it just guidelines? Or,
it's neither, really. It's guidelines. I mean, that's what it is, but it doesn't offer techniques because it's attempting to disassociate itself from the technology. It's intending to avoid, you know, any reference to HTML, any reference to cascading style sheets. And so it can't give you any specific techniques. It can just tell you what behaviors need to happen that would indicate that this web page is accessible. It's a never-ending conversation. I mean, the whole issue of determining what accessibility is, how to test for it, and deciding where you're going to go with it, how far you're going to go, whether you consider making a website accessible to a mobile device to be incredibly important. That's all part of the question, and I can't answer it.
Well, I'm glad I got you to discuss it, because I've seen your websites and I've read some of your articles, and you look like, you know, you have as much knowledge as any other quote-unquote accessibility expert out there.
So, no. I would not put myself in that rare region, but...
Well, hey, it is.
No,
some
I've
people have
some ideas.
Issues.
that's fine. I'll accept that.
Yeah, if anyone out there is in Minnesota or any other areas around, you know, go to... and check out his services, Joel Dulson, is it .com?
It's .com, yeah.
Yeah, JOEDOLSON.com.
Great.
And
thanks a lot.
Of course, if you're in the Detroit area, then you should come see me at checkenginusa.com. But hey,
cool.
Yeah, thanks for joining me tonight, Joe, and you know, maybe we can do this again sometime in the future.
That would be great. Thanks a lot for the interview. This has been fun.
You're welcome. Okay, take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
The WebAx blog and podcast is located at webaxe.blogspot.com. webaxe.blogspot.com. Email WebAx at webax@gmail.com. webaxe@gmail.com. To leave a voice message, call 206-203-0585. WebAx is sponsored by Check Engine USA, website tune-ups and overhauls. www.checkengineusa.com.